All right, welcome to Paranormal 411. I done forgot what I was supposed to say because I done said it with the mute button on. Anyway, welcome to Paranormal 411. It is Thursday, September the 8th, 2022, and I'm your host, Jason.
And your host, David Reagan.
How you doing, David?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Jason?
Oh, doing all right.
I'm out here in Reno.
Reno, Nevada.
Yep.
What a job you have.
What a job. Hey, I want to let everybody know that they can come visit us at paranormal411.org. Sign up, become a member. It's free. Right, Jason?
Oh, yeah. Come on, please.
We like free.
We love free. And
that's right. And if you also want to, you know, catch us on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, that's also Paranormal 411. Heck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So come join us.
Join us. I like that. Hey, got a few plugs to do here. If you're into history and you're in the Loudoun, Tennessee area, we have Bo Carey History Tours here in Loudoun, Tennessee. He's got a Full Moon Cemetery tour, which is awesome.
Yes, it is.
He has a just a history tour, historic home tour, I believe.
Yep.
And he's got one more.
It's a Haunted Loudoun tour, I think,
yes,
is what it
Haunted
is.
Haunted Loudoun tour, and he's probably kicking that off this month.
Yes.
So you can sign up and go on these nice little history tours at bocareyhistorytours.weebly.com.
That's, yeah, Bo. Jason, I've been on two of them, too.
Oh, yeah. That's bocareyhistorytours.weebly.com. You can sign up right there and get y'all set up. It's a great show.
Oh, yeah. It is. Yeah, Jason and I have been on two of them, and they're excellent for sure.
You might even see Elvis.
Elvis may be in the building. Well, Elvis may be right outside the building.
Yeah. Bo's a great guy. He knows his stuff.
He is very up on Loudoun history. And the haunted history part of it is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely check it out. And we also have a really good friend of ours, right?
Oh, yeah.
From Legends and Lore Pizzeria in Madisonville, Tennessee. Great woo, woo. Place. Paranormal themed, right? You got cryptids, aliens, and all kinds of stuff in there. And even a lot of the names of the pizzas, the specialty pizzas, are named after cryptids and stuff. It's a really cool place. Pizza's fantastic. The wings are to die for. And, you know, he was voted the best pizza in Madisonville and the second best or third best sandwich in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Was that in Monroe County or just Madisonville?
I think actually it was Monroe County.
Okay, so there's like three counties in Monroe. So,
right. And he's...
Or three cities.
He's definitely got really good pizza, really good food. And hey, you know, Eddie's a pretty cool dude. You go up to him and ask him, and he's got all kinds of stories to tell. So,
and he's also always bringing new stuff to the menu.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a few new things he just hasn't brought out yet.
Yeah.
So
can't wait for them.
Yes. It's always good. Almost every time we go in there, he gives us a little sample of the new pizza coming in. So yummy, yummy.
Also remember Catalyst East Tennessee. That's the music you hear on Paranormal 411. They're coming to Knoxville September 24th at the Open Chord. Is it Cafe? Open Chord Cafe or just Open Chord?
I think it's just the Open Chord, yeah. I don't think it's a cafe.
Well, anyway, they're coming to Open Chord in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's right there beside CC's Pizza. Go eat you some pizza and go listen to some good music.
That's right. It. Yeah.
September 24th.
Actually, see Jason and I there. We'll be there with bells on.
Doors will open at 6 p.m. Going to be a good concert.
Yeah. Yeah, they put on a good one last time that we was there. So definitely come check them out. And, hey, if you come check them out, come over and say hi to Jason and I.
Oh, yeah. We'd love to speak with you.
Yeah.
I've got to get a little more upbeat on these, the ones I'm doing at home, because I feel like I'm Eeyore.
Oh, bother.
Welcome to Paranormal 411. I think it's because I've worked all day.
Well, you know, that has a tendency to do it. Work all day.
But I'm working on it. I'm going to try to talk real fast and clear.
There you go.
And no us, it's, nope. Or and, you knows, and all that.
You know what? sure. Okay.
So we got to take a quick little break to get a few ads in the show here so we can pay for this thing. Right.
Cha-ching. That's right. And thanks everybody for listening to this stuff, because you know, you make this possible.
Yeah. I forgot to tell you what we're going to be doing on the show tonight.
Yes. What is the show tonight going to be about?
The CIA's UFO Bigfoot evidence.
So I like it.
When we come back, we'll get into that, right?
That sounds good to me.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
Thanks for listening to the show. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Paranormal411. Join us on the website at paranormal411.org. It's free to sign up and become a member. All of our upcoming shows are on the guest and events page. You can also listen to past shows on the website as well. And if you like the show and want to support us, you can do that by becoming a premium member for only $2 a month. Thanks for listening to Paranormal 411. Join us.
Song.
A great
the
song.
Dark Side by Catalyst. What do you think?
Great song. I love that song.
Yeah, it is a good song.
Thanks, Catalyst, for allowing us to use your music again.
Oh, yeah. So, like I said, we're going to be talking about the UFO Bigfoot CIA evidence. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I'm part of the people who believe that our government.
The woo?
I believe in the woo. Sure, yeah. I believe that the government knows about the aliens and Bigfoot and all that stuff. I really believe that they do.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I mean, we agree on almost everything, but I'm really into the dimensional craziness of the Bigfoot and UFOs.
Yeah.
And this is the CIA's evidence that I'm fixing to tell you about.
That's awesome.
Yes. So in the 1960s, the CIA investigated an alleged simultaneous encounter with a Bigfoot and a UFO.
Wow.
Yeah. It was at Presque Isle State Park in the city of Erie, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Yeah, Erie. Does that not, ain't that funny how it was coincides with that?
Yeah. That's eerie.
That's very eerie. So the reports were documented as part of, guess what, Project Blue Book.
Really?
Yeah. During which the government investigated, you know, 1,000 of cases involving UFOs. But this isle is a peninsula arching out over Lake Erie. There's the water. You always hear water in these UFO sightings. To form a little Isle Bay, one of the state's most visited tourist destinations. So on the night of July 31st, 1966, four tourists from New York found their car stuck in the sand after spending the day relaxing on beach 6 of the peninsula. I'm trying.
Peninsula.
One member of the group, Gerald LaBelle, was sent to call a tow truck while others remained in the car. Around 10 p.m., the police on patrol stopped to ask if they were all right. And after being informed that help was on the way, the officers said they would check back within the hour. When the police returned about 35 minutes later, the group said it witnessed something weird going on, pointing to a location in the sky above a wooded area. One of the group's members, Douglas Tibbetts, went to investigate along with two officers. Two women in the group, Betty Clem and Anita Hafley, remained in the car while they waited for everyone to come back. So Tibbetts and the officer walked, says 300 yards up the beach before hearing the honking of the car's horn. And they ran back to see what happened. So the two girls was clearly shaken and said they witnessed a dull black shape, bigger than a man, big head and shoulders, arm-like appendages. No hands or no face was visible, as though it had, you know, its back turned. It was like in front of their car, hunkered over into the bushes. And when she blew the horn, a scratching sound on the hood of the roof of the car was also reported. So,
wow.
Yeah. What do you think about that? In the yeah, it is awesome. You know what the investigator said it was from Blue Book?
What?
A raccoon.
That's a big raccoon. I've never seen a raccoon that big before.
Despite the lady's very distinctive description of a bipedal humanoid figure, I know what you're asking. It's what about the UFO, right? How are we going to connect all this?
Yeah.
Well, they seen a UFO. It was described as an angular craft emitting red and orange lights before descending down to the beach, where it radiated a beam of white light that was tracking something in the woods. Hey, we've heard that before, right?
Yes, we have.
What do you make of that? What do you think it was doing?
I don't know. I mean, it's very possible that it was tracking the Bigfoot.
Yeah. I think it might have been. It could have been tracking them, or, you know, it could have been showing it the way. I don't know.
Yeah. That's possible, too.
In the early hours of the following morning, officers patrolled the area where the craft allegedly landed. The report said that they noticed the presence of two unusual triangular marks in the area coinciding with the craft's landing zone. Huh. The officer writing the report said he didn't have a reasonable explanation, and described he described the witnesses to be very credible. So an investigation of the case was eventually abandoned, remaining unsolved to this day. The Project Blue Book report dismisses the group's testimonies, and no definitive conclusion was made. But some decades later, a local television station aired a segment interviewing a man who said the UFO was a hot air balloon.
A hot air balloon. Yeah.
He ordered and built from an issue of Boy's Life magazine. But this man's claim implies that the homemade air balloon would have traveled in a straight line, precisely north for several miles, carried by the wind without straying off course. So that's probably out of the question.
I would think so. That's usually not the way it works.
So despite the facts that the witness accounts describe, you know, something really complex, the man's testimony didn't explain the strange marks on the beach where the craft supposedly landed. And that puzzled the CIA investigators.
So the CIA investigated it too.
Yeah. Could this place or this incident be a result of a portal area?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, where beings from another dimension enter our universe? Could be. But it's funny how a lot of times you see a UFO when you do have a Bigfoot sighting, even the orbs. I mean, yeah. That's unexplained in itself, orbs.
Yeah, I think, Project Blue Book, when they got done with it, I mean, they pretty much said that they did whatever they could to just explain it away on most things anyway, you know. They weren't out there really to find out what was really going on.
Yeah.
At least not to tell the public what was really going on.
Yeah.
They may have some files somewhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah, today I think if we had the people that could get into these places that done their investigations like Blue Book, we would find out the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, also you got these scientists daily coming up with new stuff like the prospect of multiverses, all this stuff. Yep. They're trying to open portals up here in Oak Ridge.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe as time goes on, we'll get to know more about it.
Maybe, you know, just thinking about that, portals and everything, maybe they was able to start partially backwards engineering some part of these crafts and now they're trying to replicate it.
Yeah. What's also perplexing to me is a lot of this is near a body of water. A lot of the, you know, maybe water has something to do with the portals.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was listening to a show the other day, and they were talking about stuff like that. And, you know, just last week, you know, we had another, you know, what is that, where the Congress got together and done another thing. And they were talking about that, about all the incidences that are happening in water and around water.
Yeah. I mean, like everybody says, we've not explored even any of the little of the oceans.
Do you know that the U.S. put a stop to that?
I wonder why.
During World War II, there was a project to map the ocean floors, and the U.S. government put a stop to it, to the ocean floors being mapped.
Yeah.
I think that they was already aware that there's these beings that live down there.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, because even Lou Elizondo says, you know, they don't necessarily have to come from another dimension. They don't necessarily have to come from another planet. Says they could have been living here for a very long time under the oceans.
Yeah.
And that's why we see them coming in and out of the oceans all the time.
That's crazy.
You know, he was the man that would know.
Did you know NASA's testing sound principle in physics called the Mach effect?
The Mach effect?
Yeah.
What is that?
It employs the use of fluctuations created by a body of mass as it accelerates that are in turn used to generate thrust. And this scientist says he believes the Earth's fluctuations can create momentary tears in the electromagnetic membrane, separating our universe with a parallel one.
Well, now that's fascinating.
Yeah. But I think you're right about the... I think we're dealing with the unrecognized thing that is closely linked to us and the Earth.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. I mean, who's to say that these aren't, you know, isn't Lemurians or the, you know, any of those peoples that don't exist anymore. You know, like the Atlanteans and stuff. Who's not to say that these people aren't them, and that they have just moved instead of on top of the water, underneath the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe at one time man was at a point where they could deal with them, and man come to them, you know, for enlightenment and stuff like that. And it got to a point where there was like, no, this ain't going good anymore. And they just said, we're out of here, and went down and are watching us from the deeps.
Yep. Well, our next guest we're going to have on the show, he's going to be talking about some of that stuff.
Yes, he is.
The Galactic Federation.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty good.
Yeah. I've got two more accounts. Okay. Of, you know, tying UFOs and Bigfoot together. The first one comes from 1888. Yeah.
Thanks.
It's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago.
A meeting between cattle ranchers and a group of Native Americans in Northern California. Hey, that's where you just got back from.
Yep, that's exactly where I just came from, for sure.
the natives described three crazy bears that descended from the sky in a small moon, leaving them in the woods before taking off. Ain't that something?
Wow.
So that was from, I don't know what tribe or it was, but in some of their folklore, it described three crazy bears that descended from the sky in a small moon, leaving them in the woods before taking off.
Wow.
Yep.
See, and then that's unbiased because that's, you know, before there was any of this UFOs or any of this other stuff, you know, and the stigma that comes with it, you know.
How can people ignore stuff like that? I mean,
yeah,
just turn it away.
Yeah.
They believe in a book that was wrote by man, but they can't,
yeah,
they don't believe any other thing that's wrote by a man.
Nope. Funny.
So, in another instance, though, that's a different show.
Yeah.
In Cincinnati, Ohio, in 1973, a woman named Reefa Hatfield and her daughter were awakened in the middle of the night to a beam of light extending down from a, like an umbrella shape in the sky. Tracking the light to where it landed in the nearby woods, the two noticed a grayish creature wandering toward the beam. Before they knew it, both the ape and the craft disappeared. So it was a simian creature. A grayish simian creature. Yep. So that's another report. And statistics say that 20% of Bigfoot sightings all coincide with UFO events.
Really?
Yeah, that's a pretty good percentage.
That is. Yeah, that's huge.
You got some cryptozoologists that they've studied these Bigfoot for decades, believe that it's perfectly plausible that Bigfoot may be being abducted by UFOs in much the same way humans are.
I believe that is very possible too.
Maybe to study its DNA.
Yeah.
You never know.
I even think that, you know, what was that guy we just had on the other day? Zeus.
Yeah, Zeus.
What he said may even be, I think it may even be plausible where they were here before us.
Yeah.
And the Anunnaki and there and the Bigfoot, the hominid Bigfoot DNA is what was spliced together to create us.
Yep.
I never really thought of it that way, but I mean, the Sumerian texts don't say what already upright walking, you know, humanoid species was used. They just said one was used, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, who's to say it wasn't the Bigfoot, that they were here and in great numbers at one point, you know?
Yeah, they could have been. Could have been.
Yeah.
So, that's about all I got on this right now. It could be a bigger show, but we're doing short shows right now this week.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good place to tie it up for sure. I mean.
Yep. I don't know. Remember, we're not having a show tomorrow night. David's out in Reno gambling away.
Sitting out here spending my wife's fortune.
Smoking cigars and drinking whiskey.
That's it. Free whiskey with the cigars.
No, but but the next week on, I think it's the 16th, we'll be having a guest come on. His name is Dr. What was his first name? Dr. Macklin. That's,
yeah.
So he'll be on talking about UFOs. And well, he's pretty fluent in everything.
Yeah, he can remote view. I mean, he can do quite a few things. So it's definitely going to be a good show.
Yes, it is. And we'll be doing that on the 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Join us then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, right now, I guess we're going to say goodbye.
Oh. That breaky my heart.
Breaky my heart.
You're making my heart break.
Remember, you can hear the podcast up on any podcast platform, or if you want to go to our website, paranormal411.org. You can listen to it there in the show, in the live shows section.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think this was a good show. I think it's a really cool topic.
Yeah, it is a good topic.
And it definitely, you know, shed some light on some things that we've kind of hit and touched on just here and there, but never really, you know, really delve deep into it. So that's kind of neat to, you know, take a little plunge into the deep side for a couple minutes.
Oh yeah.
So remember,
yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, remember, you know, you could come over to the Paranormal 411, sign up, become a member. It's free. That allows you, when you come over to our live show and chat room, like Jason was just talking about, you could chat with us.
Oh yeah.
Have to have a free membership to chat with us. So,
hey, tell them about the book, boss.
Oh yes, you know what? I can't believe I forgot about the book. Hey, you know, we also have a book. You can go on Amazon, and it's 5-star rated, and we sold out of them during the last Bigfoot conference, didn't we, Jason?
Oh yeah.
I mean,
they went like hotcakes.
Like hotcakes. We had to buy a whole bunch more. But the name of the book that you can look up is East Tennessee Hauntings and Lore. Or you can look it up by Jason Scott or David Reagan. Remember, the book title is East Tennessee Hauntings and Lore. Search for that on Amazon and, hey, purchase the book.
Oh, yeah.
Join us.
Join us. All right. We'll catch you next time on Paranormal 411.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the show. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Paranormal 411. Join us on the website at paranormal411.org. It's free to sign up and become a member. All of our upcoming shows are on the guest and events page. You can also listen to past shows on the website as well. And if you like the show and want to support us, you can do that by becoming a premium member for only $2 a month. Thanks for listening to Paranormal 411. Join us.